doorstep the weekend. It's Patch Friday, which means we celebrate a little downtime. Though the sports world never stops. We all know that. Jim Davis along with Max Ryan. Hello, Max. It's been a while.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here, Max. I appreciate it. Have a great show today. Bring back our conversation with Mike Dunlap, the new Covered Mesa men's basketball coach. Also, Scott Hastings. We talked with Scott the other day, previewing Nuggets and Lakers. Who's your daddy? Come on, Lakers. Who's your daddy? You know, it's the Nuggets. 8 straight. And, of course, the sweep in the Western Conference Finals last year. I'm predicting gentleman's sweep. I think Buckeye feels the same. I think Lakers get one. But the Nuggets move on. It comes down to, does D'Angelo Russell contribute? Because you know you're going to get max effort from LeBron James. Street clothes is pretty good at times against Nikola. I mean, in terms of what he can do scoring-wise. But Jokic averaged a triple-double against him in the Western Conference Finals. So, whatever Anthony Davis does gets always, or has been, quickly overshadowed by the effort of the MVP, Nikola Jokic. But Jamal Murray last year was just absolutely killed the Lakers. Absolutely murdered them. Massacred those boys. The way he played last year in the Western Conference Finals. And Jamal Murray, just when it's postseason, we're going to have a clip from him coming up a little bit. We'll preview Nuggets, Lakers. He shines one of the lights of the brightest. Same with Nikola Jokic. And Denver, it's a different role this year. They go from, last year they were a hunter. They were the number one seed in the West. But you had people that didn't entirely believe in the Nuggets last year. And I think you still have those that don't entirely believe in the Nuggets here in 2024. I think if there's a concern that I have, and it's the concern I think Scott Hastings shared with us the other day as well, is that the Nuggets bench, losing Bruce Brown in free agency, he went to Indiana. Guy was so good in the postseason last year. Proverbial Swiss Army knife. Great on both ends of the floor last year. They don't really have that player off the bench. Reggie Jackson's not that guy. Reggie's had an up and down season from a scoring standpoint. Christian Brown had a really good postseason last year, but you can't, he's not Bruce Brown. And I think they also missed the veteran presence of Uncle Jeff Green as well. So, you know, but the young guys have, I think, gotten better as the season's gone along with Christian Brown, Peyton Watson. You know, I think those guys have improved. I just think that if you're talking about, though, the replacing Bruce Brown, you just don't. And now the Nuggets are the hunted. And can the young guys, can all the young dudes, to quote Mott the Hoople, can all the young dudes carry this team to another Western Conference Finals and to another NBA title? West is tough. To me, the East, I get so tired of ESPN, Max. It's like Boston's already won it. It's like, stop it. Stop it. Who's the biggest threat in the East to Boston right now? Tell me. Tell me who that would be. The Nuggets, it's like gunfight at the OK Corral. I mean, there's a lot of contenders, a lot of teams gunning for the Nuggets. The West is loaded. The West is incredibly tough. Giannis's injury situation makes Milwaukee vulnerable. Are you going to buy? You're going to buy into the Knicks? Philadelphia is getting Embiid back, but they're certainly not the team that they've been. I just riddle me this, Batman. I mean, who in the East is a threat to the Celtics? Of course, people are gushing over them. And who do the Nuggets sweep this season, by the way? Oh, they swept the Celtics this season. Why do people want to crap on the Nuggets? Why? Why does the national media want to keep crapping on them? Do you have an answer for me, my friend?
Just, I think it's, they don't like you specifically, Jim. Just you.
It's me. They have an intense dislike of me.
They hear that guy in Western Colorado every morning spouting off with his love of the Nuggies, and they're like, "Well, we just can't have this. We got to do something about this."
Tell me what's not to love about him. Come on, it's not to love.
Nobody likes a repeat. You had the same conversation about Nikola with his MVP, despite him earning that with flying colors. It's the nature of being, like you said, the hunted, being on top. Everybody's gunning for you. Everybody's got snipes. Everybody's got a stab in the back.
That's where you want to be, though. If you're the Nuggets, it's exactly where you want to be. You want to be the team everybody is looking to take down, because that means you've got something that they don't have. That's a Lario. I mean, you look at the East. I mean, Cavs had a nice stretch earlier this season with Donovan Mitchell and company. Look at the Bucks, the Pacers, the Knicks. I just look around the East and it's like, come on, Boston, if you don't win this, what's wrong with you? And then you go to the West, where Thunder's number one seed. Alexander's been great this year. The unicorn, Holmgren, has finally come into his own. Clippers are good. They're loaded. The Mavs with Luka and Kyrie. The Suns. I mean, the Suns are a sixth seed with Booker and Durant. They're a sixth seed.
Do super teams even work anymore?
Doesn't seem to, does
ever?
It?
Did they ever?
You know, Bosh and Wade and LeBron, they did win titles. I mean, it did. Now, they didn't win not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but they did capture some hardware. So, I mean, to a point it works. But I just look at the West. It's just so tough. And it's the more difficult gauntlet. So, you know, we got some thoughts on that today. Also, Avs will play. Of course, it was already set. The Avs are going to play Winnipeg, and they'll play at Winnipeg on Sunday. But Nathan MacKinnon, job well done. The single-season points record holder gets by Peter Stastny by one with a couple of assists last night as the Avs take down Edmonton. Good finish to the regular season. And by the way, I doubt he's up. He's probably curled up in the fetal position this morning after a night in the town watching the Avs win last night. Happy birthday to our boy Cake.
Franzen!
It's like, not so loud, Max. It's so loud. I hope had the Fiesta, Coors Lights last night.
I hope the fiesta's continuing. I know that.
I hope so, too, for our amigo.
It was off to a great start last night in the Instagram posts where him and his mom were at the game. So shout out to the Mama Bear Franzen.
Very nice.
Well, yeah. Happy birthday. Enjoy that week, Tyler.
I did send him a little text last night with Chris Pratt from Parks and Rec. Little birdie told me it was your birthday. Wished him a happy birthday for today. Gosh, she's what? It's what, 16, 17 now?
I believe he's 273.
but going on like 85?
Yeah, a space wizard in disguise sent back in time from the future to save radio from mediocrity, I believe.
Wow, that's...
That's what he told me once. While he was sitting in that chair, I believe,
that's
actually.
That's a lot of hyperbole.
He was sitting in that chair. He gets a little... He goes to his head, Jim. Goes to his head when you let him sit in the big chair.
He gets drunk with power?
He does.
I think I've, for the most part over the years, managed to stay relatively sober sitting in this chair.
Well, that's because you're Jim Davis.
Well, I'm not sure how to take that.
You might have more self-control, to be honest.
Maybe. I have years of experience.
More than Michael Porter Jr.'s brother, anyway.
Jonte, what an idiot.
Jonte!
Okay, let's quickly talk about that this morning.
Okay.
About Jonte Porter, MPJ's brother, who's now seeking employment in some league, someplace else, which I caught a little bit of Dan Patrick talking about it yesterday. And in the case of Jonte Porter, you're not Michael Porter Jr. You're never going to be Michael Porter Jr. You're lucky you're up like on a two-way deal, 10-day contract kind of guy. You're making a couple hundred thousand, which for you and me, we'd be like, hell yeah. I'll take playing 3 minutes a game and making $250,000, $300,000.
Give me that clipboard, baby.
You bet. I'll sit there at the end of the bench looking sweet in my warm-ups. I could sit there and do that. That he knew the writing on the wall. And it was that this was going to be this is his career. And at some point, he probably would not be on an NBA roster. He's looked at this as, oh, chance to make a little money here. Who's betting on my minutes in a game? Not too many people. No. But here's the problem that Dan brought up. When you're dropping $20,000 on Jonte Porter's minutes in a game, who the hell does that? Except, I don't know, maybe Jonte Porter?
All I'd say is he should have had himself an interpreter, really, to get out of that sticky situation.
I know, speak the English. No.
No. Talk to this guy.
Me misunderstand.
This guy.
This guy over here.
This is the guy you want to talk to. Can Mike even talk to him anymore? Can Mike even be associated with him anymore?
That's his brother.
No, I don't think he can.
And I don't know what you do there. He's his brother, but because of this, yeah, you almost have to say, Jonte, talk to you when I'm retired.
Won't see you at the barbecue this year, bud.
Sorry, man. Thanksgiving?
Nope. Nah.
I'll be coming after you leave, okay? You can go see mom and dad, and then I'll come later.
Just being in the same room alone, it invites the query, what are you doing, Mike?
Why are you hanging with this guy, which, well, it's my brother. Well, yeah, but it's your brother's also been banned from the NBA for life for gambling. I applaud what Adam Silver did. Needed to be decisive, needed to be impactful, needed to send a very clear, strong message. But once again, for all the sports leagues out there, for years you guys, Heisman gambling. You stood your ground against it. No, we're never going to do that. Never going to get involved. Until it became legalized. And then you go, whoa, all these betting sites, all these places have a lot of money. This is a revenue stream that we did not anticipate. When you embrace it, lean into it, you have to take the positive part, the revenue, the huge revenue stream, but also with the threat of things like Jonte Porter.
They should probably...
Calvin Ridley, which...
Yes, Ridley, Pete Rose, look at like all of it, right? Go back.
Yeah, go
show,
way back.
Shohei is in the conversation now because of what happened with his interpreter. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Jim. I think every league should have its own independent arbiter office of this that can take care of it so they don't have to do this type of thing. So they don't have to have Adam Silver, come on and do exactly what he has to do every time, because if it's happening with Jonte Porter, it's
going to happen someplace.
It's happening other places that you don't know about that you haven't figured
really
it out.
He just was stupid about how he did it. He made himself.
Why are you betting on yourself?
And just betting in general. I get it. You're a bench guy. You're a league minimum guy. You're a 10-day guy. Whatever the case might be. But you've now not only sacrificed your potential future NBA career, you've also put your brother in a really bad spot. In a really bad position. Where if he's around you at all, there are going to be the whispers. What's going on? What's Michael Porter Jr. doing with, oh, Michael Porter Jr. had a bad night last night. Huh. Oh, Michael Porter Jr. left the game early. What was up with that? Good thing Michael Porter Jr., his back has been really good. And hopefully he'll continue for it to be really good. Because watch, the moment he starts missing some games, there's any kind of action, there's action on his minutes played, things like that. All of a sudden there's going to be What's up with Michael Porter Jr.? What's going on there? Is this a family problem? It's a family gambling problem? Somebody get to him? Well, I mean, right?
Hey, cue the Godfather references, all of them, you know?
Yeah, there's going to be, is he afraid he's going to go to his hotel room? There's going to be a horse head in his bed? I mean, it's...
Right? Somebody make him an offer he can't refuse?
My friend, MPJ, it's been so wonderful that the back has held up and you have an NBA.
That's a good Brando. That's a pretty good Brando.
You have your NBA title, my friend. But now, wouldn't you like to really make some additional sweet Jack?
That's not a bad Brando.
Well, thank you.
That's not a bad Brando
at all. Thank you, my friend.
I'm sure you're not going to go in a streetcar named Desire or anything like that, but...
Stella! I'm not going to put cotton in my mouth or anything like that. I'm not going to go to that extent that the great Marlon Brando would do. All right, so... Yeah, just not a good look. Not a good look at all for the Porter family. All right. I mean, Mike does a good enough job saying stupid crap sometimes that he puts the name out there in a bad light. Now, they didn't need this at all. And he certainly doesn't need the potential scrutiny of being around his brother now. All right, 716. You can text or call us, team line, 970-242-1340. And I believe we will have Where in the World is Tyler Franson today, correct?
Oh, I'm gonna do him proud.
Okay, good. I want you to make the birthday boy
happy.
Very happy
yes.
today. And we'll also have Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia as well. It's time right now for...
What's Happening?
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal, helping your business grow. ComWest helps business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions. They support and secure your business technology consistently and professionally. As your technology partner, ComWest maximizes your investment and ensures your office technology is working efficiently, giving you peace of mind so you can focus on your day-to-day operations, focusing on growing your business. And it's IT services to meet your business needs, PC and server support, business phone systems, surveillance, network support, cybersecurity, backup, and disaster recovery. Make sure you call them today, particularly about their technology service partner program, and call them at ComWest, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. All right, lead things off with the Avalanche last night. Yes, the Avs getting the victory last night. As star Nathan MacKinnon is now Colorado's all-time single-season points record holder after leading Colorado to a 5-1 home win over Edmonton last night to wrap up the regular season. And he had two assists last night. As he finishes the season with 50 goals, 140 points, he finishes 1 point better than Peter Stastny.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, definitely a legend. Peter Stastny, one of the best ever to play. You know, he had some crazy seasons. I think he had a lot better seasons than me overall, just one. But obviously, I think it's a team accomplishment. A lot of guys helped me out along the way. Tons of great hockey this season. But, you know, my focus is definitely on the playoffs. I'm not really thinking about this at all, to be honest. So.
Stastny set the record in the 1981-82 season when the team was in Quebec. Colorado finishes the season 50-25-7, good for eighth in the NHL. And third in the Central Division, the Avs open the Stanley Cup playoffs at division rival Winnipeg Sunday with pregame at 4:30 on the Team Sports Network. Nuggets open up defense of their NBA championship tomorrow night when second-seeded Denver hosts the seventh-seeded LA Lakers. Nikola Jokic to the Nuggets swept LeBron James and the Lakers in last season's Western Conference Finals. Denver coach Michael Malone says his team has gone from hunter to hunted.
I think the biggest thing for me is understanding that now you've gone from being a team that is trying to get your first championship to now it's changed because now we're trying to keep it. We're trying to be selfish, keep it, fight for it, whatever we have to do to not let somebody take it from us.
Nuggets have won 8 straight against the Lakers. Pregame tomorrow night starts at 6:00 on the Team Sports Network. Colorado Mesa basketball player Trevor Baskin is going from being a Maverick to a Colorado Buffalo. On X, Baskin announced his commitment to CU after leading CMU to the D2 Sweet 16 and being named the RMAC Player of the Year. Baskin averaged 18 points and 8 rebounds and over 3 assists per game this past season with the Mavs. Baskin is the Buffs' first scholarship RMAC transfer since Derek White transferred from UCCS to CU. White is now the Boston Celtics. Baskin has 1 year of eligibility. The defending Western Slope League champion Palisade baseball team extended their league winning streak to 35 straight in beating Battle Mountain 14-0 and 13-1 at Edwards on Thursday. The Bulldogs' Garrett Draper went 5 innings, allowed just 2 hits with 3 strikeouts and the run rule win. In the second game, Easton Embry struck out 9 Huskies and went 3-for-4 at the plate with a double and a triple along with 3 runs scored and 3 RBIs. Palisade is 12-4-1. They're 8-0 in the Western Slope League. They face Rifle Wednesday on the Team Sports Network with pregame at 5:45. For the Monument Wildcats, girls across team is 4-3 on the season, 2-1 in the Mountain League after beating Steamboat Springs in a rematch of last season's 4A playoffs. Wildcats posted a three-game winning streak, a streak that started with a come-from-behind 15-14 win over crosstown rival Grand Junction. Senior captain Nayeli Flores says they play together better in the second half against the Tigers.
Left the half down by a lot. We just wanted to come out and win the game. That just showed in how well we played the second half. We played as a team. The first half, we didn't really play like that. I think it just shows that we were able to come together.
It was the Wildcats' fourth straight win over Grand Junction. Fruita's winning streak ended Thursday at Roaring Fork in a 14-day loss. The Wildcats' Gianni Diedrich and Sarah Mathwig each scored two goals. In other Mountain League games, Grand Junction beat Durango 10-8 at Canyon View to end a three-game losing streak for the Tigers. Maddie DeGeorge scored five goals as Grand Junction improves to 7-4 overall. They're 6-1 in Mountain League play. In girls tennis, Fruita Monument beat Central 5-2 at Canyon View. Wildcats number one singles Ketlin Mutso and number three singles Kat Austin picked up wins. In girls soccer, Grand Junction tied Battle Mountain 1-1 at Canyon View. It's the Tigers' third tie of the season as they sit at 3-4-3. And that's a look at what's happening.
What's happening?
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology service partner. If you need IT help for your business today, call ComWest, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. Also, I should mention Rockies. Yes, I had to mention the Rockies. They're home tonight against Seattle. Home cooking. Get the Rocks back at home. We're actually going to talk Rockies baseball, Jerry Schimmel, coming up at 9:20 this morning. It's been sad, but I went to lunch with my friend Scott Mullen. I haven't seen Scott in several years. We grew up together out in Appleton. Big Bears fan, by the way. Huge Chicago fan.
What's up, Scott?
You would love him. Scott gave me a really cool Nolan Arenado bobblehead when Nolan was winning all the gold gloves with the Rockies. So thank you for that, Scott, by the way. But yeah. So Rockies and Mariners tonight.
That was a painful memory. That was utterly depressing.
I'm looking at Nolan Arenado this morning. I'm going,
come back to us, Nolan. Come back.
Not that Nolan's been great lately for the Cardinals, but
yeah,
I still miss him.
Anything at this point.
I still miss Nolan Arenado. All right, but we'll have it tonight. Rockies and the Mariners on the team. Once again, Jerry Schimmel joined us at 9:20 this morning from the Rockies Radio Network. All right, we will take a break. And we'll come back, dive into the Avalanche getting ready for Winnipeg to open up the Stanley Cup playoffs on Sunday. Also, the Nuggets. We've got a little Post Malone with Coach Michael Malone as Denver gets ready for the Lakers tomorrow night. That's on the way. Text or call us on the team line, 970-242-1340.
It's a good show.
Probably the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 726. Jim along with Max Ryan today. Should mention, we'll talk more about it with Jackson Wilson, which is very painful for Jackson because he's a huge Arizona Coyotes fan. But at least the Coyotes name, or Coyotes for some of you, they get very particular about that. At least the name, that's all going to stay in Arizona. So we don't know what they're going to call the artists formerly known as the Arizona Coyotes when they go to Salt Lake. But NHL Board of Governors voted Thursday to approve a $1.2 billion sale from Alex Marullo to Utah Jazz owners Ryan and Ashley Smith. So they'll be playing in Utah next season. And it sounds like there's possibility of, could be a Washington football team kind of thing where they don't have a name next season. This could be the Utah hockey team or something like that until they get a name figured out. But anyway, the deal was done yesterday through the NHL. $200 million going to league owners as a relocation fee, by the way. And then the hope is at some point that when Arizona gets their arena situation figured out, that Marullo will get the expansion team that'll be the Arizona Coyotes. Kind of like the Browns when they moved to Baltimore and then the Browns came back as an expansion team, essentially, though with a name that we're all very familiar with.
So does that mean they got to do two expansion teams, right? There's always two. They always bring these ideas in tandem.
Yeah, they're probably will be, maybe it'll be Houston. Who knows? Because Houston's been lobbying hard for one. That's a possibility. So we'll see what happens. And also, what impact does this have on the Avalanche? Because there's been talk that maybe that the Avs would move to the Pacific, possibly, along with Utah. And then, but there's, it's, hopefully it'll just stay the way it is. Hopefully. And I would think if they're not bringing another team, why wouldn't you just leave? Here's my take on it. Why would you move? Why would you change it around? It's Arizona to Utah. It's not like it's Arizona moving to,
East Coast?
To the East Coast, moving someplace in Florida or another team in Boston or something like that. They're staying in the same central time zone. I mean, they're staying in the same time zone.
The NHL has always had a kind of a curious approach to this, the way they make their divisions and the way they, name them. Because when it was East and West, it was a little simpler. I guess that's simpler times. But once the lockout happened, all of that good stuff, and they kind of changed, and all of the rules changes happened too. You had a migration kind of to that school of thought of, well, what should it be? What is it?
And the way they have it now is fine. I mean, as much as Avs fans loved having Detroit as a rival in the West, moving them to the East made sense. That's where they should be. I mean, I look at how the divisions are now. You got the Atlantic with Florida, Boston, Toronto, Tampa Bay, Detroit, Buffalo, Ottawa, and Montreal. That all makes sense in the Atlantic. Metropolitan, same deal. Rangers, Hurricanes, Islanders, Capitals, Penguins, Flyers, Devils, Blue Jackets. Okay, at some point, maybe you look at, do you create some kind of Midwest division for Detroit, for the Blackhawks? Maybe Columbus kind of fits in. Columbus certainly fits in there, but maybe Carolina fits into that. Even though they're more East Coast than anything. Yeah, and so you look at the Western Conference. Why would you move things around where they're going to be in Utah? They're going to be geographically in the same part of the country.
I couldn't even tell you if I was looking at both states the difference between them physically.
So, to me, it should stay the same with them staying in the Central Division. But anyway, it is a done deal now. But they will not be called the Coyotes, which is...
You think they're going to bring back the Grizzlies?
I don't know. I'm sure they're going to do some kind of fan polling and that kind of thing. That'll happen. Grizzlies would be good. One time Denver Grizzlies. So, they were champions here. At the minor league level, and I think they won a title at out in Salt Lake as well. But anyway, I feel bad though for our friend Jackson Wilson, for any fans of a team that lose a team if they go someplace else. For him, they'll always be the Arizona Coyotes, and at some point they will come back, probably.
But if you go by past examples, and maybe Buckeye Boy's not the best, but he hasn't truly fully embraced those new Browns, has he? He hasn't truly, they're in his heart, right? But has he said that these are my Browns? Because I know that he holds plenty of vitriol, as probably the city of Cleveland does, for the Brown family and moving to Baltimore and all of that good stuff. They still got to have that one little caveat. They'll never, ever give that up. But I don't think the Coyotes fans will either when they talk about it in the future. They'll still have that tiny hole, that wound in their heart, their sports heart that's opened every time someone like, you or me or somebody in sports media or just in passing conversation mention it.
Yeah, I think it's always tough. It's tough when you lose a team. Fortunately, here in Colorado, we haven't had to experience that.
Was there in the history, Jim, was there any team that was on the verge of going? Because in 93, when the Rockies came, it was a wholehearted embrace. The Nuggets were bad for a really long time. And then what was the hockey team called before?
That's the one we did lose. They were the Colorado Rockies.
Okay, yeah.
They were the Kansas City Scouts.
There we go.
Then they came to Colorado. Don Cherry, the legendary Don Cherry, hockey knight in Canada and successful coach, very controversial figure. Not just the gaudy jackets that he wore, but stuff he would say on the air. Yikes, he was a scary dude. But a legendary figure in the hockey world. That he was the coach of the Avalanche. They had Chico Risch and Lanny McDonald and all these guys.
How long did that last?
Just a couple of years, and then they became the New Jersey Devils.
Oh, wow.
And so...
Do you think it was too small of a time period for Colorado to really latch on?
And they were bad.
Yeah.
Hockey wasn't as strong, I think, nationally at that point in time. Broncos were coming, at that period of time, coming off, going to a Super Bowl. It was all about the Broncos. Nuggets had Issel and David Thompson. They were good. And I think people just... The Rockies hockey team wasn't great. And so I think people just didn't have a whole lot of interest in it. And then the opportunity came around for the Nordiques to come to Colorado, which Quebec continues to lobby to try to get a franchise back. So, I mean, that's probably the one that's the notable one of losing the then Colorado Rockies hockey team.
The biggest
but,
one
I mean, but Pat Bowlen, God bless him as much as Mr. B is beloved in this state. After they won the back-to-back Super Bowls, he made the threat. Hey, if we don't get a new stadium, if you guys don't pony up, I'm going to have to look at some other places. LA's wide open right now. Houston would love a team.
Ah, yes. The billionaire holding the general public ransom. That's a good time. I remember what happened to the Seattle.
Because that point, the Oilers were threatening to leave. And so, but it was mostly about LA.
Yeah.
Because the LA teams were gone at that period of time.
Mm-hmm. And the NFL wanted in that market for so long.
Yeah, I want to get back in there.
Because it's just so big. Yeah. Yeah. I just remember the Seattle Supersonics and what happened to them and the whole that it's still left there. I mean, you talk so much about people like true purist NBA fans and especially the ones in the Pacific Northwest. They love that team. And that team was a fixture in the 90s and then when they drafted Kevin Durant. And then the OKC move, while everybody saw it coming, it didn't stop it from being lamented. Like,
right.
A lot.
Exactly. Yeah. So I feel bad for those that are a fan of any team and that team moves someplace else. But I believe Jackson's coming in later this morning. Maybe going.
Rub it in.
Really? Am I going to have to come in and
salt
do this?
Salt the wound?
I know he's plans on coming and talking about the Avalanche alumni game they have coming up. So that's going to be a big thing over at River City. But anyway, we'll have that coming up later on. So the Avalanche last night, they get the victory over Edmonton. Nathan MacKinnon now Colorado's all-time single-season points record holder after he picked up two assists last night in the 5-1 win of the Oilers, surpassing Peter Stastny. Bring that clip back to you. Here's MacKinnon. Typical Nathan MacKinnon response. It's like, that's nice. I'm ready to move on.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, definitely a legend. Peter Stastny, one of the best ever to play. You know, he had some crazy seasons. I think he had a lot better seasons than me overall. Just one, but obviously, I think it's a team accomplishment. A lot of guys helped me out along the way. Tons of great hockey this season, but, my focus is definitely on the playoffs. I'm not really thinking about this at all, to be honest. So.
Yeah, that's classic Nathan MacKinnon. He's like, yeah, it's nice. I got bigger fish to fry here, which is the Stanley Cup playoffs. But MacKinnon, two assists last night to surpass a Peter Stastny. Also, you had goals last night, a couple of goals for Valeri Nichushkin, so the choo-choo train on the tracks last night, a couple of goals for him. Josh Manson, he also picked up a goal last night for the Avalanche. Zach Parise, this is kind of his final run as an NHL player, been a nice little pickup for the Avalanche. Mikko Rantanen with a goal last night as well for Colorado. As Eustace Annan was really good last night, stopped 25 of 26, gave up the one goal last night. So the Avalanche getting ready for the Stanley Cup playoffs, which starts on Sunday for Colorado. And so for the Avalanche, they'll open up on the road at Winnipeg. Avs finished third in the Central, Winnipeg second, Dallas won the Central Division. So it's Colorado-Winnipeg this Sunday. Our coverage starts at 4:30 on Sunday with Connor McGahee. And then game two will be on Tuesday night at 7:30. Game three will be Friday night at 8:00 when the series comes back to Colorado. Game four, Sunday at 12:30 on April 28th. And then game five will be back at Winnipeg potentially if we go seven games on, goes to five games, and then, of course, six and seven. But Colorado-Winnipeg on Tuesday, April 30th, and then Winnipeg back at Colorado on May 2nd, and then Colorado-Winnipeg for a potential game seven on May 4th. But we'll have all that action right here on the Team Sports Network, or possibly over on 1100 KNZZ, depending on what how things look for the Nuggets in their series against the Lakers. So Jared Bednar, last night after the game, asked about Avs getting ready for the playoffs.
The key for me is, like, you've been there, you know what it takes. You know how hard it's going to be. You know what you can expect from the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, we have some guys that have had success with us, without us, and things get infinitely harder come playoff time, right? So having that experience helps you stay even keel when things are going good. You can rely on your experience on how to keep it going. When they're going bad, you can rely on your experience on how to dig out of it and what it's going to take to dig out of it. So, like, you're not riding an emotional roller coaster at a really emotional time of the year.
All right, so the Avalanche open up the postseason of Winnipeg Sunday. Once again, pregame at 4:30 on the Team Sports Network. So the Nuggets, they start their quest to defend their NBA championship tomorrow night at Ball Arena when they take on LeBron James and the Lakers. Some post Malone with Coach Michael Malone after Nuggets practice yesterday. Coach Malone talking about getting ready to square off against LeBron and the Lakers again in the postseason.
Guys are coming off from a 57-win season, and we understand what we have in front of us. I think the biggest challenge is everyone keeps talking about how we've beaten them 8 games in a row, and as I told our players today, Adam, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, this is a different team, a different series, and we know what we have in front of us. It'll be a hell of a challenge to beat the Lakers again in the playoffs.
All right, some more Michael Malone on Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray. That together they're the dynamic duo, but Malone says when one of them is off the floor, the other one absolutely has got to be on the floor. Those two superstars cannot go and both take a seat on the bench together at the same time. Here's Malone on approaching things with Jokic and Murray as they get ready to take on the Lakers.
Yeah, likely. You know, I mean, I think it's always in our best interest to have one of our two best players on the floor. If you guys have noticed, I've been running Nikola the first quarter a lot of times. So in the past, it was getting Jamal out at the six. He can come back in for Nikola around the three. Joker is a thoroughbred, man. So if I run him the whole quarter, I can get Jamal back in to start that second quarter. But one of those guys will likely always be on the court.
All right, so Michael Malone talking about keeping at least one of his superstars on the floor at all times. And last year in the Western Conference Finals, Jamal Murray just carved up the Lakers, averaged about 30 points per game. He was brilliant last year in the postseason in general. Here's Jamal Murray, and why is he so good when the playoffs roll around?
I just feel like the playoffs is the time you want to see the best players perform, and I try to do that every single time. You know, it's the competition is great, the adrenaline is higher, the minutes are higher, the shots are more, the confidence is all the way up there. So, you know, when they take off the leash like that, it's fun to just go out there and play my game.
All right, so Nuggets-Lakers tomorrow night on the team. Pregame for that 6 o'clock. Tip-off at 6:30 with Jason Kosmiski. And since it's a TNT game, it's going to be Scott Hastings joining Jason for that game tomorrow night on the radio side right here on the Team Sports Network. All right, it's 7:42, and it's time for soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
That is you. Soundcheck.
Yeah. I got it.
Okay.
I know what I'm doing. Yes, indeed.
It's okay.
Jim, you've heard a lot of athletes do a lot of post-game comments. You hear a lot of the same things. You know, a lot of the, you know, the canned statements, a lot of the, you know, the stereotypes, the cliches. The Tampa Bay Rays last night were going into the ninth at Tropicana. They were up on the Angels of Anaheim. Pete Fairbanks, the closer for the Tampa Bay Rays, came in to hold on to that one-run lead. He didn't. And he, in his assessment of his performance post-game, offered some of the best post-game sound I have heard in quite some time. This is Tampa Bay Rays closer, Pete Fairbanks, on what he's going to do to bounce back from this loss and his thoughts on his performance as well.
Was it just a matter of command, location, selection, anything specific?
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
Where do you kind of go from here? Is it looking at tape? Is it going through mechanics? Where do you kind of go from here?
You tell me. I've tried that. If you got an answer, I'd love to hear. Just, you know, not going to let it beat me up for, you know, I'll maybe give it till 10. It's 9:44 right now. We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
General suck.
I only did like the suck part. I talked about it yesterday, Fort Ann territory. Yeah, Pete Fairbanks, just being blunt about it. Yeah, this sucked. By the way, for our birthday boy cake, Tired Franzen, Elton John, I want the record to show. Text me this morning. I am awake. Had only one beer last night. More than that would have required a bank loan. And he appreciates the birthday wishes. You are certainly welcome, our friend. You are certainly welcome. All right, coming up next, bring back our conversation we had with new Colorado Mesa men's basketball coach Mike Dunlap. That's next on The Jim Davis Show.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back in. Jim and Max Ryan today, The Jim Davis Show on The Team Sports Network. All right, earlier this week, we had the chance to talk with Mike Dunlap, new Maverick men's basketball coach. Here's part of that conversation. You can catch all of it in its entirety, by the way, at theteam1340.com, our X feed, or our Facebook page. Right now, it's a pleasure to have with us the new head coach of the Colorado Mesa Maverick men's basketball team, Mike Dunlap, joins us. Mike, a pleasure. Thanks for joining us this morning. I know it's a very hectic day for you.
Yeah, it's good to be on. Thanks for having me, Jim.
It has been years since we have talked when you were at Metro State, when you won a couple of national championships over there. But take us through what this has been like for you, the journey for you to come back to the RMAC after you've spent time in the NBA, head coach of the Charlotte Bobcats. You were there with Giannis and company in 2021 when they won the NBA title and assistant coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. The success you've had, obviously, in college basketball, but also in professional basketball as well. What brings you to Colorado? What brings you back to the state? What brings you to Colorado Mesa, Mike?
Well, first is university. It's dynamic. And what Tim Foster and now John Marshall, President Marshall, are doing is dynamic. So I wanted to be a part of that growth. And also the purity of Division II is special, the RMAC, and what that the game of basketball, kind of a Hoosiers environment that I love.
You've known Joan McDermott, the Mavericks AD, for a long time when you were both, of course, over at Metro State. How much did that relationship play a role in you deciding to come to Grand Junction and coach the Mavericks?
Yeah, well, as you know, Jim, you got to have alignment. And from the president's office right on through, people have got to want to be good, sustain themselves. And there's so many programs that the Mavs have. Baseball, it could be wrestling on the female side of it. It could be diving. It could be a multitude of things. The women's basketball program and others are very special. And so Joan at this time is perfect for me as a fit, but also is, you know, you got to have some luck. But, you know, it's hand in glove as far as working for her. So it's good to have an AD that you're comfortable with and you can kind of seamlessly jump into the chair and go.
Mike Dunlap, the new head coach of the Colorado Mesa men's basketball team, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. It's been a while since you've been a college coach, Mike. That was Loyola Marymount back 2014 to 2020. And certainly things have changed in the college basketball landscape from Division I all the way down to Division II. The transfer portal has obviously had a big impact on so many programs, and it's had impact on the Mavericks program with after the trip to the Sweet 16 and Mike DeGeorge deciding to leave to go to Cal Poly, that big chunk of the roster decided to move on. Trevor Baskin, most notably, was the RMAC Player of the Year. I guess your take on that, your approach of getting back into college basketball at the D2 level and trying to navigate what's always a difficult proposition with the transfer portal.
Yeah, you know, I think that you're exactly right. And it's like when a three-point line came in, either you embrace it and say, okay, how can I figure this out? Because the A part of it, that it's changed, is a fact. And so the more you spend talking about that, meaning me, staff, others, that you can go down the wrong path with that. So I think in solutions and priorities. And so with that, if you get good players, and let's say they go to the portal and they want to go to Division One or move, this is it. There's this 60s kind of expression right now of an independence and a freedom for the player, and they're exercising it. And it'll come to form. Won't always be this way. And in the meantime, while you're going through that, you say, okay, what can we do to, number one is adapt. So, for example, maybe you pick off us a really good player out of the portal that's a difference maker. And so I just say, hey, it's the environment right now. Let's go.
Mike Dunlap, new Colorado Mesa men's basketball coach with us on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And when you're at Metro State, you won the two national championships, Mike. Your connection with Australian basketball, when you spent, of course, time down there with Adelaide in 94-97, had strong connections to Australian basketball coaches and programs down there. It was a great feeder for your Metro State teams winning those titles. Is that part of the equation for you, now that you're coaching Colorado Mesa, to try to tap into those land down under resources once again?
Absolutely. The national program, Basketball Australia, invited us over last month, and I was in Sydney, Canberra, and also Melbourne. And so the knife is sharp as far as the connections and the network goes, and tapping into that. One is that all Division II programs have a hard time getting big players of size. And when the Metro teams moved in, we had an advantage maybe over the Mavs or Fort Lewis or whatever, only in the talent that we were able to get with size. And so, you know, being targeted, I think that is number one. But two is getting players that from Australia, academically, they're really good, and then high character people. And then third is that when somebody comes off continent, they have more at stake because they do not want to call home and say that they lost a game or they're not doing well. So you get a little bit more desperation within the human. And so that's not to say that's all you recruit, but I find that those Australians are like a good spice that's thrown into a chili. They really add something that's very special.
Mike Dunlap, the new head coach of the Colorado Mesa men's basketball team, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. So what's the approach you take, Mike, with maybe players that have been at Colorado Mesa that have played for Mike DeGeorge, that have entered the portal but are still have not committed to go someplace else? Do you reach out to them? Is there a communication with them in regard to potentially staying now that they know who's going to be the head coach?
I think so. I think that anybody in their right mind would say that the excellence of Coach DeGeorge and his staff and what they did is you want to replicate a given day, a given week, and not have radical change to see if you can be seamless in that. But the portal also has a degree of just keep your poise, because it's bigger than the men's basketball program or any athletic program. The university has a power to it on relationships with professors, and optically it's a superior place. It's got to be one of the top 10 programs and facility-wise in the United States. And so I think you embrace other things, because there's the student-athlete, and there's a flavor there, and I think it pulls on the heartstrings of those players, even if they went into the portal. It's very natural that they would be a little crestfallen.
All right, so that's Mike Dunlap, new Mesa men's basketball coach. Hour 2 coming up.